Hey, welcome to my podcast. My name is Dr. Brendan McCarthy. I am the Chief Medical Officer of Protea Medical Center in Chandler, Arizona. This is part two of a two-part episode. I thought I could do it in one episode. I wrote, there was like 17 slides, which usually I get 17 slides. I'll knock that back in like 15 minutes. I went way over. So we have two parts today on this. So thank you for tuning in and we'll get right into it. I've said this before and I've said it throughout my whole career. I've learned this and I learned it in the first few years of practice. It's so easy to diagnose what's wrong with someone. It sounds like I'm bragging right now. I'm not. I'm being very honest right now. Understanding what's wrong with someone is not the hard part of practicing medicine. It's still hard, okay? I know. It's hard to diagnose. It's hard to understand. It's hard to see pathways. It's hard to see patterns. I get that. That's why you go to school, you learn that. That part is, it is hard, okay? Diagnosing is hard, but it is the easiest part of the job. The hardest part of the job is the heavy lifting that goes in the behind that and over time. A woman presents to clinic, say with PMS, and I slap birth control on her, boom. That's very easy. The hard work, the heavy lifting, is the care that happens after that. The long-term maintenance of your care, the long-term maintenance of your health, let's put it that way, is the true work of being a physician. And putting on some oral contraceptives is not true work. Now, still, you're saying, Brendan, you're still talking about oral contraceptives. And I hear you philosophically, Brendan. That's a good point that, you know, we should understand what's wrong with these women. I get it. But Brendan, why not just keep my birth control pills? What could be the harm in that? Because it suppresses the problem. They can live a long life. We don't have to figure out what's wrong with them because we just give them this and we don't have an issue anymore. Birth control, oral contraceptives is not benign. It's not benign. There have been problems with it since it first came out. What if there was a miracle pill available now that I could give men that could be used as birth control that stops their production of sperm? And as soon as they stopped taking it, their sperm came back. How many men would take that miracle pill? Studies show 83%. That's truth. 83% right now of men would take an oral contraceptive pill in order to temporarily stop their sperm production. They're all in. Okay. That's pretty good statistics. It's not bad. What if that pill also caused side effects such as low libido, poor sexual function? What if it caused erectile dysfunction? And what if there was a chance, significant chance, no more of a probability, let's use that this oral contraceptives, these side effects of erectile dysfunction and low libido and poor sexual performance became permanent. How many men would use it then? Zero. Why is it that we give women oral contraceptives that do that to them? You've heard me on previous episodes talk about how oral estrogens and oral contraceptives increase estrone, and estrone causes people to have a higher risk factor for clots, and it causes people for having a higher risk factor for breast pathology that is associated with cancer. It accelerates the nuclear factor kappa beta pathway that accelerates the progression of breast cancer, and that's in the literature. And, you know, I'm sure if you read the reels with the comments, I get insane. I'm getting roasted on that one. Here I am saying that birth control, what it does to women, that's my next step. So you see, I've been on a tear against birth control. This is a big one. Again, you guys, please hear me. I want you to have reproductive control. I know that is important. You are valid. You're still so valid. That decision that you make to take oral contraceptives, you deserve an educated decision. You deserve to know everything around it. So when you make that decision, it was yours. I have a problem when the decision is taken away from you and you're not told what it is. I have a problem when things are done to you without your full consent. Birth control has saved so much money from the medical industry for having to research health care related with women associated with all the pathologies associated with the reproductive endocrinology. They've saved so much money using birth control. Just slap it on you and you guys keep going, and they don't have to worry about figuring out better solutions than what they have. But they never told you what it was doing to you. Not even once. Not even once. And when I say they haven't done enough research into women, they haven't done enough research into women. But with that said, I'm still going to tell you, we could treat all those things with them better than oral contraceptives. If a person presents to clinic with menstrual migraines, you know, what do? In my clinic, I'm giving birth control. That's not my first choice. We know that when a woman has estrogen dominance and low progesterone, she'll have compromised serotonin. Hey, buddy, I need to work. I know, I feel the same way. I love you too. We know that they'll have low serotonin. Estrogen dominance inhibits the monoamine pathway, and monoamines is the production of serotonin and melatonin too. And serotonin is most obvious. And serotonin deficits will cause migraines, sugar cravings, depression. So when a woman presents to clinic with those symptoms, what do? I run lab work on the 21st day of their cycle, or as close to it as I can be, try to figure out the luteal phase. That's technical, but still, that's what we do. And we see how much progesterone they have and estrogen they have. And then we figure out where the headaches are coming from. And if they have low progesterone and high estrogen during the second half of their cycle, they're not ovulating. Then we figure out why they're not ovulating. If it's because they're premenopausal, we give them progesterone, oral micronized, bioidentical natural progesterone, not synthetic, not medroxyprogesterone acetate, which is not progesterone. We give them bioidentical progesterone. And then we monitor their monoamine pathway, because you can do that with labs through insurance. And we see how they're producing it. And maybe we help build up the pathway a little bit. And then we run the labs a month later to make sure that the progesterone levels are adequate, the monoamine pathway is running well, and her headaches are under control. Now, there's more to it than that. There's way more to it for headaches associated with period. There's magnesium deficits. There's a lot of other stuff I do in there that could also be a player in here. I want you to know, there's no one solution for migraines around your period. I'm not going to try and sit down and go over every single thing I would do, because we don't have time for that. Justin already gave me the time. This would be a long episode. We'll probably do two, maybe even three episodes out of this one. But still, what I'm trying to show you is that I don't just slap birth control on you. Have a nice day. Why do you have the headache? If you have cramps, this could be prostaglandins, sure. But also low progesterone, because progesterone is a smooth muscle relaxant. I look for progesterone associations. I also look for inflammation in their diet and lifestyle. Maybe they do have a lot of prostaglandins because their diet is too inflammatory, and so it's going to be firing that off more. Yeah, I got that. I'll go there. There's a lot of reasons why you'll have cramps. Do I just give you birth control, send you out? No. Heavy period, too much estrogen, not enough progesterone, very common cause of that. Estrogen dominance does that, you know. So what do? We figure out why you have too much estrogen. Run your labs. Understand your woman. Birth control being used for lazy reasons. You don't do these things instead. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes care. It takes gray matter. But I've dedicated my life to this, just as every care provider is supposed to dedicate their lives to caring for others. That's our calling. And when we don't, there's a problem. Medicine is broken. So let's think about this for a moment. Use an example here. I'm going to use PMDD, or premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And I'm going to quote out of this. Serotonin deficiency and altered sensitivity in serotonergic systems in response to phasic hormone fluctuations in the menstrual cycle are the primary causes of PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Progesterone appears to be the main precipitating factor in PMDD symptoms, but estrogen may also provoke symptoms. For diagnosis, we do not do labs. It's in the book. Treatments, SSRI, benzos, such as Xanax, birth control, ovarectomy, so you move your ovaries. If a man was having problems with his reproductive health, would we remove his testicles? Can you believe I'm talking about this? Do you feel me? Millions of women. Millions. How many more? How many more is enough? In the book, it says estrogen and progesterone play roles in this. Why isn't it a part of the treatment plan? Estrogen and progesterone play a role in it. Why not do the labs to observe that and understand it? I'm not against, and I will prescribe medication to stabilize my patient every time. Every time. If I have to write a benzo like Xanax or Valium, I am there. I do it. I've done it. I'm not afraid to write it. I'm afraid of doing a bad job. I'll stabilize my patient. That's not enough. I can't go home and celebrate. I've given you all the wreckage that oral contraceptive does to you with libido. I said that earlier about how that affects men, and it does this to women as well. I've told you how oral contraceptive in previous episodes causes clotting cascade issues and increases the risk factor for breast pathology. And I've seen a blind spot in my posting with you. I don't apologize. I'm sitting here on my perch just going blah, 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 blah. And I'm not giving you guys enough lifelines. Okay? I see it. What happens when you're on oral contraceptives? You got no choice. You gotta stay on them. What happens when this is the only pathway you have available to you because your doctors around you just won't do anything different? And all I just did was unleash this on you. I want you to know there are solutions. I'm sorry. I've come across in a way that, for those of you who have no other options, has been cold and not giving you a message of hope. My frustration is that this is being done to you without your consent or the plan on how to manage it or any thought. And I hate that. And I realize that how I've communicated in previous episodes about oral estrogens has been very much tainted by that position of like, what are we doing to these women? So today, let me get very clear on treatments that we can do to balance that out. So let me start one more time. Let me repeat this because it's important. It can never not be repeated enough. Never not be repeated. You know what I'm trying to say with that one. I don't know how many negatives I threw in there. Sorry. When you are given oral contraceptives or oral estrogens, you have no other choice. How do you manage it? First, you want to get your doctor to run estrone. For love of Pete, run estrone. Every time you deserve estrone. Not a difficult lab to do. LabCorp does it, SonorQuest does it. You don't have to pay for a fancy lab company to do it. You want that lab done. Not a conjugated estrogens, none of those things. I want estradiol and estrone. If your estradiol levels are in the normal range, but estrone is higher, we want to lower it the best we can. Diindole methane, which is derived from broccoli, has been shown to be helpful in that area. Vitamin B6 as pyridoxal 5-phosphate at 50 milligrams, very helpful for that. Diindole methane is a supplement that comes from broccoli, by the way. That one around 200 to 400 milligrams a day I've had good effect with. These are your base two tools to use. There's others we'll use in there as well, but those are my two big starters with them. And I monitor their estrone levels over time. I also give them fiber because that helps pull the bile salts out and precipitates bile and helps them lose, because that's one of the pathways you lose estrogen through your body. So estrone, fiber, B6. With the clotting cascade, I'm very cautious with that. And I want to make sure we're giving them things that'll help promote, be less inflammatory in their body. We want to reduce inflammation. So we're going to give omega-3 fatty acids. We're going to look at their diet, make sure it's a non-inflammatory diet, because that does help. When it comes to libido, estradiol, oral synthetic birth control, all those things will cause an increase in sex hormone binding globulin in your bloodstream. The sex hormone binding globulin is a protein that sequesters testosterone and renders it inert. The higher your sex hormone binding globulin is, the less testosterone you'll have bioavailable. You won't be able to use it. The higher that sex hormone binding globulin is. When women take oral contraceptives, it causes that sex hormone binding globulin to become incredibly high. It's rare. I've never really seen it go low. It's just high. So when a woman consumes oral contraceptives, sex hormone binding globulin becomes elevated. Her testosterone becomes unavailable. Whatever she makes, she can't use. Won't be bioavailable. So those women will have low libido because that's one of the things testosterone does. And that's a part of you and your life. It's not mine, it's yours. It's not any doctor's, it's yours. It's personal, it's intimate. But it's not just libido. Testosterone is not just libido. In your amygdala, in your deeper part of the brains, it plays a role of confidence, assertiveness, risk-taking, speaking up for yourself becomes more natural with proper levels of testosterone. That is a proven fact. It's not even worth arguing. Science. It's there. Not the levels I have, you know, because we're all different. I need estrogen. You need testosterone. It needs to be ratioed out right for your biology. But if you don't have it, yes, you will feel all those feelings. How do we treat it? When a woman comes into clinic, she's on oral contraceptives, high sex hormone binding globulin, how do I manage that woman? How do I think about her? If she's on the birth control, can't come off of it, DHEA. DHEA in America is an over-the-counter supplement. I know in Europe it's not. I'm not sure what it is in South Africa and Australia. But DHEA is an effective tool. DHEA has been shown to reduce sex hormone binding globulin. Now, before you go out, store and buy DHEA, please know it is a delicate balance because I need to give you enough DHEA to drop the sex hormone binding globulin, and I need to watch it because if too much DHEA, too much free testosterone, you have too much free testosterone. Now you have the exact opposite problem happening. That's why when you see people saying, oh, online, DHEA says it's going to make you grow hair and all this stuff. And yes, too much DHEA makes too much free testosterone, creating high testosterone symptoms. So you have to see the woman in front of you. You need to balance where she is and how she responds. Again, lab work. Lab work. That's how we do this. And we talk to you. I listen to you. And then from there, I bend all of this around it for you. That's what a doctor's supposed to do. As a matter of fact, there was where is it? There was a journal article, Maintaining Physiological Testosterone Levels by Adding DHEA to Combined Oral Contraceptives. That was published in the Journal of Contraceptions in 2017. They were talking about adding DHEA to birth control to stop this symptom from happening to women because it happens to all women. They still don't have DHEA out there for birth control. This is a known thing in medicine. You deserve better. You always have deserved better. I will always advocate for better for you. At the end of the day, you want the medical care that is best for the person in front of you. At the end of the day, when you exit this life as a doctor, I think you should want to look back and say, at every moment I gave 100% of the best that I was, and I kept trying. I hope this helps. I'm driven by this podcast lately about the impact it has. It means a lot to me and Justin. We really love doing this. And I love being helpful to the best that possibly we can be. To help us be better at this, your likes, your shares, your subscribes, your comments speak to us more than anything else. But liking and sharing and that sort of stuff is subscribing. We use those metrics to know that we're hitting the right note. We're doing a good job. You know, that matters. This is a labor of love. I will never be, I just love doing this. So thank you. I'll see you in the next episode.